Devices Radio Network.
Franco is pretty smart, but Franco is a child. And when it comes to the day of the contest, I'm his father. He comes to me for advices. So it's not that hard for me to give him the wrong advices.
Hey, what's up, guys? Welcome back to Advices Radio. I'm your host, Scott McNally, and you're listening to episode number 76. So the Olympia is upon us. It's just a few short weeks away. And today, we are speaking with Matt Jansen. Matt is coaching a whole slew of athletes that will be competing on the Olympia stage. He has five of them. Michaela Aycock, Sean Clarita, Ian Valliere, Charles Griffin, and Nathan D'Ascia. So today we're going to talk to Matt about what it takes to get these people looking their ultimate best for the big stage. Matt, thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Scott, man. I really appreciate it. You know, it's always an honor to be on these types of shows. And, you know, I've never kind of... I'm always, you know, a fan of the sport, and you know, this is something that I always grew up listening to. So actually, to be on the other end, it's definitely an honor and a privilege to be a part. So thank you.
Well, cool, man. We're really happy to have you and to get inside of the mind of one of the top coaches here that is working with a lot of great athletes. But before we get into all that, I want to ask you about your own bodybuilding, because I recently saw you on stage. What show was that you just competed in?
I just did the USA's 3 weeks ago.
Okay, and you look fantastic, man. What have you been doing? What's been the change in your program that's brought you to the level you're at now?
Well, you know, to be honest with you, I don't know if I'm a late bloomer or what it is, but so in 2016, just to kind of back up a little bit, 2016. I won my first class, and then I won my first overall at the Flex Lewis Classic. And that show, at that point, I had zero intentions of doing USA's that year, so much so that we had full intentions of going to USA's as my wife was competing, but I did not submit an entry form. I didn't do any of that. We had our tickets booked and all that. I simply planned to go there and be a coach. I had that year I had – six athletes in the show. I won the Flex. And then the next morning, my family, Jordan's family, my wife, Jordan, and then Neil Hill and Dallas, we were all walking to breakfast. And Dallas was like, man, you need to do USA's. And I said, no, I'm not ready for that yet. And he said, no, he said, you know, you might not win, but he said, you know, your conditioning speaks for itself. And you know, if nothing else, it'll be a good learning experience for you. So I started to kind of just, you know, think about it. And when it came down to it, another factor to me was that I would get to actually really enjoy the show with the guys that I was coaching. So I'd get to be backstage with them. And, you know, as if I was competing, it wouldn't be a factor. You know, I could just be back there with them, enjoy the time, make memories. And that was kind of the determining factor for me. So I knew going into that show, you know, I just wanted to bring my best, but it wasn't like during that prep, like I ever prepped for USA's or I ever prepped for a show of that caliber. Obviously for the Flex, I prepped to be my best, but like that was the end goal for me, the USA's is on a completely different level. So I had basically had 2 weeks to get ready for USA's, and you know, it wasn't like a full prep devoted to USA's. So I ended up getting 15th. There was a big show that year. I was in the second call out. I was the last guy to be placed within the top 15 in that group. You know, but it taught me a lot. Like I knew all along that I needed to be at the top of heavies to be competitive. But there was so much that I gained from doing that show in terms of show preparation for USA's, things to expect out in Vegas, how my body responds to water out in Vegas. Those things are irreplaceable. So even though I don't feel that I was ready to compete at the national level for my expectations in 2016, I gained a lot from doing that. That helped me this year, as that was my goal, was simply to prep for USA. So I took the last 2 years off because that's what I felt I needed to do to make the progress that I needed to make. So in 2016, I weighed in at 195.7. And this past year, I weighed in at 221.8.
You're kidding.
So
in that two years, you made that progress.
Yep. You know, this show for me, you know, I went in with, I prepped to win, you know, I trained to win and I gave it everything I had. I ended up getting third, and I knew as soon as I got off stage that, my next show was going to be USA's next year. Like, I didn't even really consider North Americans, or Nationals. And the reason being is because I put so much into it, and my goal was to win that show. Like, that's still my goal, you know, and I want to accomplish that goal. And now I believe that I can, you know, I believed before, but like, I actually have some like quantifiable proof now that I can do it. I just need to continue to improve little by little, you know, and I think I can do that in a year's time. And then also too, on the bigger spectrum and the more important thing is, you know, and why I'm here today is because I'm a coach first, the Olympia was right around the corner. So I didn't want to be mentally drained from my athletes that needed me and expected me to be there for them for the biggest show of their life, you know?
Yeah.
So that's why that was one of the biggest determining factors, as well as the other biggest determining factor was just from a family perspective. I needed to be able to have some more energy around the house and get back to my wife and my new son. So that's it, you know, that was all going into it. But basically, so I finished USA's on that Saturday. Sunday we hung out in Vegas, as you know, my wife and I,
yeah,
and one of our good friends. And then, Monday we actually flew back home to what we call home. So we flew to Atlanta, because our son was staying with my parents. We spent the day Tuesday with our parents. And then Wednesday we drove home back to Knoxville. We were home for about 3 hours, and then I went to the airport to pick up Nathan as he flew in from Liverpool to finish out the rest of the prep together.
Okay.
So basically, we just, you know, I stepped off stage at USA's, and we entered right back into, you know, Olympia prep. So that's kind of a short synopsis of, you know, my bodybuilding and the decisions that got me to where I'm at, you know, and now leading into the Olympia.
Fair enough, man. And that was a nice segue into talking about your clients. But I also want to ask, you know, for the guys that are following along with you, what are you going to attempt to achieve over this next year? After you stepped off that stage, what did you realize you felt would be best to make the improvements on in order to get that first place next year?
So I feel that I'm very complete from the back. I still feel like I need more completeness from the front. More so in my upper body. Like, I just need more lat width in my front shots. I need more shoulders, more chest. And that's what I feel like lost me the show.
Okay.
But basically, in my opinion, I feel like I lost off the front double and the front lat spread. You know, so those are the shots that I need to make more complete. And that's, you know, that's where my focal point is. As well as, you know, I just love bodybuilding. I love training. I want to show up next year and just look completely different head to toe, to be honest.
Hell yeah.
Oh, but like at the same time, like I know that those are the areas that need to show the improvement the most. You know, if I can get everything else to show improved, then that's just, you know, that's awesome. But if I show up next year and my chest and my shoulders aren't better, then it doesn't really, this season didn't do me any good, you know? So that's kind of how I'm looking at it. You know, and I've already started to refine my training, with my chest. I'm very strong on my chest, but obviously strength doesn't always correlate to size. You know, and one of the guys, I watched a lot of old Battle for the Olympia videos during my prep.
Okay.
And then I kind of like, I never really followed, Lee Priest, simply because I don't know, like I've always been attracted to his physique, but he just wasn't one of the guys that, like, you know, coming up, I looked at, you know?
Yeah.
But anyway, in one of the Battle for the Olympia videos, I watched him train chest. And when I watched him train chest, I mean, it was literally like watching like ballet in motion. Like the way that he performed his reps and his rep execution and the way that he contracted on every single rep, I was like, man, like he gets it, you know? So then I started watching more videos of him training chest and more videos. And, you know, it's just like slight tweaks. Like he did the basic movements, but, you know, just basically internally rotating his hand positioning or, you know, different things that he did. Like, I just started to really pick up on, and that's what I'm trying to implement. I also, something I never really considered was I've always been a false grip presser, which means I don't wrap my thumb around the bar.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm going to, you know, start wrapping my thumb around the bar and internally rotating that grip a little bit. Just to see if I can get a little bit more peak contraction out of my chest. You know, because if you watch my videos, like I was in the off season, I was pressing 405, 425 for eight. And, you know, and the form looks very good, but I need to find the disconnect of where that weight isn't correlating to size. You know, so that's one of my focal points. I also, for the past, since 2016, I injured my hip in 2016, and at the time I didn't know that it was my hip. So from the end of 2016 in November, literally through 6 weeks out of my show, I spent time chasing every rabbit trail I could to try to fix what I thought was wrong with my leg. You know, I spent thousands of dollars on therapy work and soft tissue work and this and that and the other thing, and my leg was not getting better. So anyway, long story short, I reached out to Mike Rice, who is a chiropractor in Atlanta that works with a lot of top end, IFBB pros. And he also is a partner with Dr. Hatterack, who is the coach for the Eagles. So I went in and saw him, and within a matter of 5 minutes, he's like, man, your hips are just off, you know, like, and that was something that even though I told everybody I had hip pain, nobody thought to address. So basically your hips should be centered at 30 degrees. Your right hip and your left hip should both be set at 30 degrees. And my right hip was at 30 degrees. My left hip was at 20 degrees. So my left hip was back 10 degrees. So whenever I would do any type of knee flexion extension movement, you know, either whether that be a squat or a leg press or a hack squat, rather than my hips both rotating forward as they should, my right would rotate forward and my left would rotate back into my glute.
Okay.
Basically, it was just pulling on my lateral quad the whole time, not allowing it to fire. So that's something that I'm excited to have now, is that now that my legs are back to full capacity, I love training legs. And, you know, up until 2016, my left leg was my cosmetically better leg. Like, it had a little bit more sweep to it. It had a little bit more roundness to it. So I'm looking forward to just being able to train legs pain free,
That'd be nice.
I have, because literally for a greater part of 2 years, I trained legs with excruciating pain. And then the rest of the night I could hardly move, but I did what I felt I needed to do to still be able to be competitive, So that's something I'm really looking forward to too, is just being able to train pain free and get back to training legs heavy and the way that I know I can train them, which I think is going to make a difference as well, just in my total look. So, you know, those are really the focal points for me. And just continuing to be an example through my own progress. You know, I think that's why a lot of the younger guys, like if you look at my roster of who I'm bringing to the Olympia, like, we all connect because of the fact that I train hard and I'm able to find ways to push them in the gym. And even though they might be stronger than me, they respect me for the effort and the way that I conduct myself in and out of the gym and the way that I'm able to help them. And, you know, for me, coaching is so much more than just sending somebody a diet, but it's like finding a way to just like mesh with these guys and grow relationally and finding what types of communication make them fire off and want to be better, and what types of communication to stay away from, you know? So
interesting.
It's different for every individual, you know, and I'm a huge sports fan. So anytime a sports coach that I respect, like Nick Saban or Belichick or, you know, there's a lot of really, really good coaches. Like when I would, what's his face from the Cowboys back in the day, Johnson,
I don't know. I don't follow enough sports outside of bodybuilding to know.
Okay. Well, anyway, yeah. You know, these guys, they talk about it all the time. It's like, you got to find ways to get on these athletes' levels to make them responsive to communication, because it's not the same for everybody. You know, like some people respond very well to negative reinforcement, whereas some people respond very well to positive reinforcement. You know, for example, like if I was overly positive with Dallas McCarver, he didn't like it, you know? So, and I'm not a negative person, but at the same time, when we would take our pictures of him, like I had to pick out all the flaws, and that's what he was responsive to versus okay. somebody else. You know, if I pick out the strengths and say, hey, let's work on X, Y, and Z, which are the flaws, but I say it in a positive way,
yeah,
they might respond better to that than me saying, hey, man, like you really suck here, here, and here, you know, like,
yeah, yeah.
Because that's what Dallas wanted, you know?
Yeah, but that might tear another guy down, right?
Right, exactly, exactly. And this, my mind is drawn a blank, but basically, this coach for the Dallas Cowboys, when they won their Super Bowls, he was coaching Emmitt Smith and he was coaching Michael Irvin, and he said they had completely polar opposite personalities, and he found that he had to get the best out of each of them, and he communicated completely 180 degrees different to each one of them, and that's what made them successful. You know, he said if he coached them both in the same way, they would have never been as successful as what they were because he coached them in two separate directions completely.
Wow.
You know, and I just heed that stuff. Like Coach Calipari of the Kentucky Wildcats, like every time he talks, whether it's on a, you know, a post-game interview or on an ESPN special, like I just sit down and watch it because I'm like, there's something that I can take from this and apply to bodybuilding, you know, and it has nothing to do with muscle. It has nothing to do with nutrition. It has nothing to do with any of that, but it's like coaching philosophy and those types of things. Like, I just love that stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. That is cool, man. So on to the athletes themselves then, give me the roster. Who's competing in the Olympia that you're helping?
All right. So this year, I have Michaela Acock. She's going to, she's women's physique. And she won she got fourth at the Arnold, and then she won the Hawaii Pro the next week.
Nice.
Sean Clarita is in the 212. He won the New York Pro. Nathan Diasha is in the Open. He won New York, and then he went on to win California the next week. Charles Griffin won the Kansas City show, and then Ian just won in Spain a few weeks ago. So that's my roster. You know, and I'm so, so very excited about these young group of athletes that I have. Two are making their Olympia debut, which I know is going to be extremely special for them. You know, and I'm excited to be a part of that with them because I know – from a coaching perspective, what my Olympia debut was like in 2015, and I'll never forget that, you know? So like, I want to make it extra special for them. And those two guys, that's going to be Ian and Charles are making their debuts this year.
Nice, man. So yeah, I was looking at some pictures of Sean Clarita. I've never seen him looking like this. Like, he is an absolute freak right now. This is I think the best I've ever seen him. And he's not really, I mean, 212 is a good place for him because he's not really a big guy overall. What's he weigh?
Right now, he's about 176 right now.
Okay.
So he definitely is not maxing out the class, but he's got a physique that looks like, you know, I mean, he just carries so much muscle on his frame, but shape is still excellent, you know, so it's just, it's a lot of fun to work with him because we don't ever have those stresses of what a lot of the guys have in the 212 division, yet I still feel like we can bring a very competitive physique to compete with those guys.
Yeah.
You know, so it's fun. Like, you know, on Wednesday, we always joke, but like on Wednesday for athlete check-ins at the Olympia, I'm like, all right, man, just make sure you make weight, you know, like, you know, cause it's never an issue.
And that's what you mean by you don't have the stresses because you know that he's going to be under that 212 mark.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. We don't have to prep with a weight in mind ever, you know, for him, which is nice.
Yeah. That makes sense. How tall is he? Cause I know he's not a really tall guy.
I think he's like 5'2".
Yeah. 5'2". So he's a shorter dude, but I hear he's very, very strong.
Extremely strong. Yeah, he trains so hard. You know, and that's something else I want to be like, you know, known for is the crop of athletes that I have. If you look across the board, they're all known for the way that they train, you know, and that means a lot to me, you know, because I want to be known as a hardworking group of people because I think it makes a difference. You know, I think the way that you apply yourself in the gym and the effort you put forth in the gym shows through, you know, and every single one of the guys that I work with, that's very, characteristic of them.
Yeah, you know, I'm just thinking of it now. I'm kind of making a mental checklist through my head. And yeah, each one of these people are known for real intense training. You know, I just had an opportunity to talk with Ian Valliere a couple weeks ago. And I mean, everything I've seen with his videos is just so brutal. And one question that I asked him was, and I want to ask you the same thing. Do you feel that intensity changes the look to the muscle versus guys that aren't pushing to quite that extreme?
Yeah, I mean, I think it, you know, if you look at, you know, somebody I always looked up to and respected as Dorian. And the reason why is because he beat guys year in and year out that on paper were better than him, you know, and he's the first one to say that. But he just simply outsmarted them and outtrained them. And I hate that word of outworking, because you don't know what anybody else is doing. And it's not always about doing more, because if it was just about mental toughness, we could stay in the gym all day, but that's not going to yield a better physique, you know. But at the same time, if the effort that you're putting into each individual set, if you know how to gauge total volume and how many sets like that you need per workout, I do think it makes a massive difference over time. You know, for example, like, you know, I'm so excited to show the progress with a few guys, but, you know, Ian's been with me a few years. Michaela's been with me a few years. Sean's been with me a few years. I started with both Nathan and Charles in the spring. You know, and just the progress that they've made since the spring, it's going to be something special to be seen on the Olympia stage. And it comes down to changes in training. And, you know, Nathan came from Kuwait, where basically everything was machine-based, and they weren't supporting their own body weight very often, you know. And Charles was more of a pump type, let's see how big of a pump I can get. And now that he's training properly, the funny thing is that, or what I consider proper training, is that he's getting more of a pump, you know, but he's not chasing it.
Yeah.
You know, it's a byproduct of proper training. So, you know, I definitely think it makes a difference. I think the condition aspect of the muscle looks different, the hardness of the muscle. And also, too, as you're going through a prep, if you're continuing to put your body under the demands that it's not expecting you to go through, you're going to force that tissue to stay there and remain intact versus, you know, if you're not pushing the loads and you're not, you know, keeping the loads high, there's an area where your body's going to say, okay, well, my body's not utilizing all this tissue anymore, so I don't really need it, you know? And that's when I think people start to fade into a show, is when, if you look at their progress from 12 weeks out to 4 weeks out, well, what have your weights done during that time? If they continue to just to transcend down throughout that whole period, I do think it's going to be reflective in your physique as well.
Yeah, yeah, I agree. Dr. Scott Stevenson on our programs always says, dance with the one that brung you. That if you're training hard and that's what grew your muscle, then you definitely want to keep it up there. And I've seen the opposite. You hear the old idea of lower reps for growing muscle and then higher reps to quote unquote cut, you know. But at the end of the day, you're doing that through the nutrition and through the cardio, right?
Right.
Right on. So tell me a little bit more about what you and Ian are doing then. You know, he mentioned to me, you know, he came back from Spain and he had won that first place over there at the Big Man Weekend. And now what's happening to the plan from there to the Olympia? First of all, how much time was it? 8 weeks maybe that you guys have had total between those two shows?
Yeah, something like that. So Ian, you know, honestly, Ian's been prepping all year, but what's been very beneficial to him is, one, from a genetic standpoint that he got from his parents, two, from a work ethic standpoint that he's, you know, instilled within himself, he's able to eat a lot of food. So I think that's really helped. You know, I honestly don't think many guys could prep all year and continue to make the progress that he's made. You know, like, he's going to be his heaviest weight the whole entire year at this year's Olympia.
No kidding.
And that's after literally prepping. We started prep in December, you know?
Wow.
I mean, that speaks for itself right then and there, you know?
Yeah.
So one of the benefits is that I've been able to keep his food like very, very high. And not only have I kept the food high, but then on top of the food being high, typically every week we would refeed on back-to-back days, you know, where his carbs would be extremely high. So I think that's really helped keep his body fresh. Cardio has not been outrageous. I think at the max, he's done 40 minutes of cardio a day. For a majority of the prep, it's been more so like 25 to 35 minutes a day.
Nice.
You know, and I'll be the first to say he wasn't his best from a conditioning standpoint that he's known for in Indianapolis.
Okay.
But here's the thing. So we started prep basically, and what I continue to look at through his prep was the fact that we knew the goal this year was to go to the Olympia. That was the goal. We also knew that he was facing a very improved Steve Kukulo in Indy that just came off of a really good Arnold showing. Okay,
good, so good point.
On paper, I'm not discrediting Ian here, but on paper, you know, Steve's a front runner for that show. So during our prep for that show, Ian continued basically, it was a steady 2.5 weeks, 2.5 pounds a week rate of loss, which I think is perfect. You know, so I didn't feel that I needed to overly push him for that show to get the conditioning and yet still come up short of the goal.
Okay.
So rather than, you know, if I would have overly pushed him there, he might have not had this fresh look that he's had all year.
Yeah.
So basically we came into that show and he did bring a very, very good look. He still placed very well, but it wasn't the standard of condition that he nor I know that he could bring.
Yeah.
So then from that prep,
I mean, still, you got a top four placing, and right, there were right. some incredible bodybuilders there. Absolutely. So,
yeah, and I'm not discrediting
yeah,
that at all.
Yeah, no, absolutely. You
know, I'm just kind of giving the game plan that we had.
Yeah, yeah.
So from there, due to some commitments on his end, he had a guest posing, and then also shows that I had other guys in. We kind of just like played chess with his show selection. So rather than doing – so for the Toronto show, he couldn't do it because of commitments that he had. The New York Pro Weekend, he was guest posing. So basically I was like, okay, let's put it all in on Vancouver. So Vancouver was the next show that we went for. So that was a 12-week gap. So basically we did the same thing. We fed up for a while, still on a completely structured plan, you know, with a, say, a burger and fries when needed type thing. But it wasn't like I just let him have a free-for-all.
Okay.
And then get back to structure. So We basically dieted on high calories from the start, from that Monday after the Indy show, all the way through Vancouver. And his Vancouver look was, you know, I'm very, very proud of his Vancouver look. The conditioning was there, the fullness, you know, everything was there.
Yeah.
You know, so, and again, we fell short there. So 2 weeks later, we had Spain. Literally same thing. I fed him up for a few days, jumped right back on the plan. He was back, you know, basically by the time he was on the plane ride home from Vancouver, he was back on plan. So we went into Spain, you know, and I think he won very handily there. He won with straight ones, you know, and again, brought a very, very awesome look. And so at that point, you know, again, we have this gap, and the way that I wanted to fill the gap was to fill him up. And for this point of the phase of prep, I actually did just let him eat what he wanted for a few days, which I felt at this time it was needed. And then from that point, we got back on the same exact diet that he was on prior to the Spain show, just to let his water balance come back out. And as soon as his water balance cleared, then I pushed the food back up. And then basically the food's been up from 8 weeks out until I just made my first changes to his food last Saturday.
Okay.
So, and that was at 5 weeks out. So right now he updated me yesterday. He's at 261.4. So currently out of the three guys that I have in the open, Ian is the heaviest. And again, I just think it shows a ton to the amount of commitment that he's had to this prep. You know, cause it's hard. It's very mentally taxing to diet for almost a year straight.
Oh God. Yeah.
You know, but he's done it and he's succeeded. And not only has he succeeded, he's progressed, which is just, you know, it's awesome. So I'm very, very proud of him. Very excited for him. I know it's going to mean so much to him too, on so many levels, because he also coaches, his fiance, soon to be wife. And then he also coaches his soon-to-be brother-in-law and Chris Bumstead, and you know, for them to be there as a family,
yeah,
all competing together, you know, that's just you can't replace that. So I'm very excited for them on multiple fronts that they've all made it to the Olympia, and they're going to be able to do this together as a family.
Yeah, they have such a cool story, and yeah, we're really pulling for him here at Advices. I think we're all big fans of him, and I'm especially a big fan of his. I love the conditioning that he brings, and he was saying, you know, the goal is to bring that conditioning with as much fullness as he can possibly get, man. So yeah, it sounds like yeah, you guys are poised to strike that balance. I'm excited to see what happens. Now tell me about the big guy here, Nathan D'Ascia. This is what I would consider to be your headliner, really. He's an incredible bodybuilder. I hear people placing him very high in this upcoming show. And now so let's start here. So he flew out, and he's in Kentucky now, right?
I'm in Tennessee, but yes, he's Tennessee. With me in Tennessee.
Sorry, that's right, Tennessee.
So yeah, we did this for the spring show where he came out and stayed with me.
Okay.
And it just worked so well. We get along so well. He's a pleasure to have in the house. You know, and I've said this on multiple fronts, but I'll continue to say it because I want to give credit where it's due. You know, to this point of everybody that I've been around and on a long standing front and seen in a prep perspective, Nathan is the happiest prepper I've ever been around.
No kidding.
He doesn't have bad days. He isn't snappy. He doesn't, have this woe is me, I'm hungry attitude. Hmm. You know, he's always cutting up, joking, laughing, training his butt off. Ian is like this as well. Very much so. Ian's very easygoing. I just haven't been around Ian to the same degree during prep.
Right.
Except for the last few days, you know, so living in a house with somebody tells you a lot.
Hmm.
Nathan's just a very, very much a pleasure to be with. He's fun to be around. You know, and two, he doesn't, you know, Nathan's had a hard life, and we're not saying that, you know, for pity or anything, but what I'm saying is that, you know, when Nathan got to the house this spring, you know, within the first, it was like the first 48 hours he was here, he's like, Matt, I just want you to know, like, you're not going to hear a peep out of me, you know, like of negativity, you know, like,
wow,
I'm blessed and fortunate to be able to wake up and bodybuild and support my family every day through bodybuilding. He's like, I have nothing to be frustrated or upset or, you know, down on myself about. And that, you know, and that's how I try to conduct myself. So, but the thing is it's one thing to say it and it's another thing to actually do it. And, sure, and he does do it. Like you know, I mean, literally, like all the way up through the last shows, we didn't have a bad day. Now, granted, at some points, you know, I know that he's a little bit more fatigued than others.
Yeah.
But he doesn't show it. You know, it's just it's awesome. It's a breath of fresh air for sure. So,
well, hold on a sec before we move forward with this. I have to ask you because I feel like this is something that we can all learn from.
Absolutely.
Tell me about this. What kind of benefit is it to have that kind of positivity in your life, going through your prep?
Well, I can tell you, you know, on a personal front, with the expectations that Nathan and I have for ourselves and the expectations that everybody has for Nathan for this show, for Nathan to not be a stressful person or Nathan to not be a demanding person, it's made this prep, as easy as it can be for me. Now, granted, I'm not the same. I have some stress and some expectations and some pressure on myself, and I try my best to channel that in a positive way, but I am not Nathan and I don't handle it as well. But that being said, the fact that we live together and we conduct ourselves as a team every day with the same goal,
yeah,
it's so nice to just not have somebody that's, you know, like you're walking on eggshells around or, like you have to be perfect for, you know, like,
yeah,
you know, we demand perfection out of each other, but it's in a positive way, if that makes sense.
Absolutely.
You know?
Yeah.
You know, and two, like something else I'll say, and that, you know, I used this example before, but, for example, when we went to New York, so we left for New York, it was like 4 days out. And we got to the airport, and literally within 30 minutes of being at the airport, we had a delay. And then that delay turned into another delay. And then that delay turned into another delay. So I planned his food to have five meals, and then we'd have his last meal at the place we were staying once we got there. Well, one thing led to another. It was an 8-hour delay between meals before the time that he ate again. You didn't hear it once out of him. Like, oh, I'm going to lose all my size. Oh, I'm going to be so flat. It was none of that. You know, he's like, this is life, man. Like, things happen. You know, he didn't say he was hungry once. He wasn't freaking out. He wasn't, at the airport saying, oh, I got to find something else to eat. What I don't want to get lost in this is that Nathan doesn't conduct himself as a professional bodybuilder, because he absolutely does. But he just doesn't sweat the small details, the day-to-day things, the things that if you don't have control over for a few hours, like, he doesn't sweat that stuff. You know, if we get stuck in traffic or...
Hey, listen, to me, that is conducting yourself as a professional.
Well, right.
That's
right.
Not flying off the handle and losing it and then letting that affect you in a lot of other ways, right?
Absolutely. Yes.
Yeah, that's mind-blowing to me. And that's what I'm saying. I feel like a lot of us can learn from that, because if things don't go right, and guess what? Things aren't going to go right. When you're living life and you're dieting for a show, you know, there's so many variables that are just not going to unfold the way that you planned. But if you let that get in your head, man, that's just going to, it's going to throw you off. And at the end of the day, I think what it is people like him are smart enough to know that while he is controlling the variables he can, and at the end of the day, if a few things get messed up, it's probably not going to change the way he looks. The judges aren't going to know that stuff happened, right?
Right. And honestly, I think it's the stresses that we put on ourselves when those things do get messed up that can potentially change the end result.
Yes, absolutely. You know? Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay. So you guys have been hanging since spring, and what's been going on now?
So he went home after he won the California show. He basically got home. It was the beginning of June. Okay. So he had, in terms of an off season, from the first week of June through the end of the second week of July as his downtime.
Okay.
So he's been training 5 days a week during that time. This is also the first time that he's been on a structured diet during his downtime, which has paid a big difference for him. And what I mean by structured is actually me calculating something in a way that I feel like we can make progress and making the most out of that.
Sure.
Versus in the past, it's been more so I'm just going to eat what I feel is necessary for me to make progress from a protein perspective, fill in the foods that I need to eat from a fullness perspective for satiety, and then enjoy the time with my family while I'm with my family. Okay.
Yeah.
So I try to just kind of fill that gap, because his family time is very important to him, but it's also very brief. I still wanted him to be able to make those memories. But at the same time, it's like, we have a potential to really crack something this year. So let's make the most of it. So I think we did a very good job of finding that balance, where he was still able to go out with his kids and enjoy time with his family and, just find that mutual balance of both.
I think in my experience as a coach, that's almost harder to find that balance than it is to diet 100% into a show, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah.
Because how do you know where you can let the structure go a little bit and, give some freedom versus, when it's time to really push, everything's 100%, everything's dialed in and there is no room for any type of variation. So I think that, yeah, that speaks volumes for a coach that's able to do that.
Yeah. And then we started actual prep. Like I said, the second week of July, I still kept basically two cheat meals in initially around his body parts that we want to show the most improvement in this year. I don't want to say weaknesses. I want to say show the most improvements in, which are his back and his legs. And then basically I tapered that down to one cheat meal a week prior to the night prior to him training legs. And then he got here at 7 weeks out. And then we've just been doing whatever it takes, these last 7 weeks to bring his best. Right now we are currently training 6 days a week. So our split is we train quads on Monday. We train back like thickness movements on Tuesday. So we do deadlifts, rack pulls, and then, any type of barbell row, T-bar row, dumbbell row. Wednesday, we train chest. Thursday, we train hamstring. So it's a hamstring dominant workout.
Okay.
Friday, today, we're doing all vertical pulling and pullovers for back, as well as biceps. And then tomorrow, we're training shoulders and triceps. And then Sunday is our day off. So that's how we have the week structured right now. We have a trip up to Pittsburgh in 2 weeks' time to go up and see and pose for Jim Mannion.
Nice.
And then also just to spend time at North Americans, which Nathan's looking forward to. You know, that's something else that's a testament to him. You know, 2 weeks out of the Olympia, he's actually looking forward to making a trip and being at a bodybuilding show, you know?
Yeah.
And then the week after we'll be home for a week and then we leave Sunday for the Olympia. So that's where we're at. We're training, you know, our training is basically where we left off in the spring. We picked right back up from, there was no regression. Again, another, you know, I want to continue to build him up because, he's just a special athlete, but you know, there's a few tweaks that we made to his training, from a rep execution standpoint, and the time away from me, rather than regressing on those things, he just continued to improve upon them. And he's come here, and I mean, his rep execution now, you know, set after set on each movement is flawless. You know, so we train very hard, we train very intense, very heavy, but yet at the same time, you know, we're sticklers on form, and we want to make sure that that's constant throughout the workout. You know, and that's kind of where our focal point is. And then next week, we have something exciting too. Charles Griffin is coming down Sunday night.
Oh, nice.
So next Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, Charles, Nathan, and I are going to get to train quads, back, and chest together, which we're very much looking forward to. And also, I think, I mean, I am looking forward to it as a fan of bodybuilding.
Right.
To potentially two top 10 Olympians in the same gym that don't hate each other, throwing balls to the wall. You know, like, I think it's going to be, we're going to get it all on film. It's going to be an awesome atmosphere, and I'm just really excited just to see them just like, you know, in a mutual respect way, get after it.
Hell yeah. Now, listen, you know, you've worked really hard to be where you're at as a bodybuilder and as a coach, but do you ever just stop and step back for a minute and just think about like just how lucky you are in life to be able to be where you're at, man, and do this with these guys?
Yeah.
It's really cool.
I'm definitely blessed. Like, I kind of had a moment, the first weekend that Nathan was here, he guest posed, and the next day we had a seminar, you know, and just driving to the seminar and thinking about how I wanted to introduce the seminar to the people that were there. I was like, man, like, I can't believe people have actually paid to come listen to me talk, you know, like, I just, there's still times where, like I said at the beginning of this, like, I'm still that kid that just loves bodybuilding, you know, yeah. Like, and this stuff, I'll never, and yes, there's a high amount of stress that I place on myself because I want the best for these guys. And I conduct myself in a way where I want them to win and be successful. And not only that, but like when you're dealing with professional athletes, you're dealing with contracts, you're dealing with prize money, you're dealing with bonuses.
Oh yeah.
And I kind of take all that into my own shoulders as well, because it's reflective of our work, you know? So there is stress and, you know, and right now is a very stressful time. Like I kind of feel like right now, like for the Olympia, like, I just have my finger in a light socket all day long, you know, and then I just refresh for a few hours at night, and then we wake up and do it all over again.
Yeah.
But again, like, I'm so thankful for the team that I have this year, because I don't have one of those me individuals, you know, and
that's cool.
It's such a blessing to work with these guys and girls, you know, and two, like, I'm very fortunate that they've chosen me to allow me to help them, you know, chase their dreams and their goals. You know, and that's something I won't ever regret that, or just like look at that and just look right over it, look past it, you know?
That's so cool, man. I feel like keeping that humility is like what can keep a guy plugged in and passionate. So I have a lot of respect for that. I want to hear about Michaela Aycock. Now, she is known as an incredibly intense trainer herself,
Yes. And
she's looking fantastic. What's going on with her right now?
So she was actually just here. She came like 2 weeks before I left for USA's, and she's been prepping here, and she just left yesterday. So
okay.
She's been prepping here as well. She's one of her best friends, Matt York, and his wife, had her stay at their house, and they trained together. So we have, I'm very fortunate to be a part of Arsenal Strength, which is a showroom here in Knoxville that sells equipment.
Nice.
So the showroom is also, you know, it's a functioning working gym, but it's private. So I have the ability to bring my athletes in there. So we train, you know, every afternoon.
No kidding.
And even though Michaela and I, we weren't training together because her split didn't line up with ours. I'm somebody too, like, if something's working, I don't care if we're all in the same gym. Like, I still want you to do what's working for you. And the same thing for Nathan. You know, like, I wanted him, like, he showed up, and this is kind of a cool thing, but he showed up, and the first day that we were training together, he was wearing a big T-shirt, and he had a stringer tank on top underneath it. And once he pulled that stringer tank off, I said, we're not doing a thing to the split that you're already on for the rest of prep.
Like, no kidding.
Difference in his upper back density that I was like, we're not changing a thing.
Yeah.
You know, because in the spring, we just trained back once a week. Throughout his short off season, we put it in twice a week just to get a little bit more work out of it. But within that work, I want to make clear that, like, we're not trying to double up on back. We're just trying to put more of an emphasis on pull downs one day and rowing one day versus trying to put it all into one workout and something being compromised.
That makes total sense. Yeah.
So, you know, that's kind of how, that's where our focal point's been. But back to Michaela. So she trains to the brink, of every set that she does to the point where she's shaking, you know, and honestly, sometimes I try to save her from that. But at the same time, that's what makes her successful, you know? So, it's a fine line for me because I try to let her do her thing. And sometimes I'm like, hey, that was a little too much. You know, but I also just let her, I try not to be her dad, you know? So,
yeah.
But we're, you know, Michaela and I have worked together for a long time. You know, and I feel like we're very in sync. Something that's interesting about her, and I think it's because she's so young and she's still just, you know, maturing and developing, is like, we don't really have very many parallels to draw off of, as like, basically each prep for her has been completely different.
Okay.
And I think it's because of the fact that she's continuing to develop just as a female, you know, because she is so young and you know, that maturation process for her, whether she didn't want to call her a late developer or whatever, you know, like, it's just like every prep has been different. But within every prep, I've tried to learn from previous preps. So she, like I said, she won at the Hawaii show. And from there, I'm usually pretty aggressive with her rebound, in terms of pushing the food up high, trying to get her metabolic rate up, trying to get progress, trying to close the gap of what I feel like we need to close to be more competitive. But this time around, Michaela's always somebody that has to diet extremely hard, very hard, has to do a lot of cardio. And I said, I want to try to change the environment a little bit to less food, less cardio, and let's see if we can get a little bit more sweep on your legs during prep. So that's kind of been one of the goals this year, is to not push the food so high during her short off season, but keep it lower. I think, you know, obviously the end result will show if it's worked or not. But I am very happy with how this prep has gone. It's definitely been more moderate. Like, she hasn't had, you know, there's been some preps, I would say for 10 weeks straight, she did 90 minutes of cardio a day. And she still hasn't touched 90 minutes of cardio yet this prep at all. So
no kidding.
That I think is a positive, based off of where her conditioning is at. We've been able to do more refeeds in one form or another throughout this prep consistently, which I think has been a benefit to her. I've been able to keep her off of cardio on every quad day so far this prep. Like I said, I'm just trying to continue to find ways to help her improve, within the midst of a prep phase as well as an off season phase. You know, but I really think, you know, like, going back to, you know, I'll be bold and say what I believe, but I think if everything's right, I think Nathan can be, you know, second this year. I think Michaela can be in the mix to win. I think Sean Clarita is going to be in the top five. And I think the other two guys, if they're on point and they're where they need to be, they can be both be in the top 10.
Hell yeah.
I honestly believe that.
I don't think any of that's crazy talk.
Yeah. And two, like, you know, the two top 10 guys, like, that'll be a challenge because of the lineup, but I believe in them. And I believe what they can do. And I also, you know, I think something that the judges really rely heavily on is the progress that they made from their qualifier to the Olympia. And for example, like Charles Griffin's going to be 20 pounds bigger.
Wow.
Easily. Ian's going to be at least, I would say, at least 12 pounds heavier.
Wow.
You know, so
that's a lot of fullness right there.
Yeah. So, you know, there's a lot of very, very exciting things that I'm looking forward to with these guys. You know, like I said, we're going to get into Vegas on Sunday and just allow everybody to settle in. And then we'll just get after it that week.
Who's the trickiest out of all these people to work with?
Trickiest? Michaela.
Michaela is. Okay.
Yeah.
Because she's so low carb and she has to push so hard?
Yeah. And I think just to just like, okay, when she's on, her muscle maturity looks good. But again, like from an age perspective and from a training age, she's still very young, you know, so that always comes into play. Like Michaela can look crazy for 30 minutes and then 30 minutes later, she can look completely off.
Okay. She's what? 23?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, and she, you know, and she's going to have no issue with me saying that because she knows it's the truth.
Sure.
You know, like she just, she's very hard to peak properly, because of the fact that her body is so, just kind of up and down. And also something else that's interesting about Michaela is naturally her sodium levels are a bit low.
Huh.
And that's been since she was a child.
Okay.
So like from a blood pressure perspective, her blood pressure is a little bit lower.
Mm.
And, you know, like obviously sodium plays a big role in, your look, I believe.
Absolutely. How you fill out the fluid you're retaining, et cetera.
Right. Yeah. Right. So, She doesn't usually hold fluid, but like she can just look flat even when she, you know, by all outward means on paper, she shouldn't look flat.
Sure.
You know, so she's definitely the trickiest. I would say the easiest, if you want to call it easy, would be Sean.
Yeah.
Sean, I think, is my easiest at this point because of how many shows we've done together.
Okay.
Sean can also eat lettuce and still be full.
He's a freak, man. He really is. I genuinely believe that. I have a friend of mine and partner for Bodybuilding Nerds, VJ Peary. He saw Sean competing on the natural circuit for years, and he said he was a freak back then, too.
Yeah. And again, you know, I say easy as a very relative term because
sure.
Sean preps extremely hard.
Yeah.
Extremely hard. But what I mean by easy is every time I make a change for Sean, a result follows.
Oh, you got to love that as a coach.
Like every time. And then also, too, every time I put a carb in Sean, like you see immediate response within 30 minutes. You know, like,
wow.
So that's very, very cool. Like he's very predictable in that way.
I love that.
And two, you know, like I also – something very cool that I learned last year with Sean was after the Olympia, he did the Kuwait show, and he got over there and he got a stomach bug from – he ate some bad chicken or something over there. He had a stomach bug for like 48 hours. Couldn't eat anything, you know. So like I literally was like, okay, you know, and obviously there's a time difference and, you know, and I'm trying to get some rest when he might be up and I'm like, okay, like – when you're up, if you can, have a half of a rice cake and, you know, like 3 bites of beef and, you know, a tablespoon of almond butter, if you can, you know? And like, we just did that basically whenever he could, he would put that in as an example. And basically because of the fact that he was having diarrhea, we had no issue with water. And he came out looking absolutely crazy. I remember Nathan was at that show and he's like, dude, I don't know what you and Sean just did, but he looks like an absolute freak. And I was like, well, he's actually sick as can be.
No kidding.
You know, but like that's again, like that's very rare for somebody's body to be that off and yet still be able to look that good and that full and that hard. But that's, you know, that's part of who he is.
That's cool. Well, hey, we've gone a little long here, but we've talked about everybody really except for Charles Griffin. So we can't end this without hearing a little bit more about what's going on with him.
Yeah. Charles, we have a very good relationship. Very thankful to be working with him. I do think that he is somewhat of a descendant or relative of Ronnie Coleman. he definitely has some Ronnie Coleman genetics. I'll tell you that. Like
20 pounds, yeah. 20 pounds since his qualifier.
Yeah, we haven't even scratched the surface yet. I mean, this guy, he's an absolute freak. He's passionate about bodybuilding. He loves bodybuilding. He, you know, just wakes up and wants to do this every day, which I love.
That's cool.
You know, he comes from, again, comes from not the easiest background. You know, he lost his mom and he's bodybuilding in memory of his mom. And, you know, he wakes up every day and he loves to do what he does. You know, so, and he's kind of like that soldier mentality. Like, you know, basically I just got an update from him before we started this. And whenever he updates me, I actually have to ask him questions because he doesn't give me very much information because he's just like, you tell me what to do and I'll do it, you know, but at the same time, I want to know like where he's at. And, you know, so we're still working on that communication balance, you know, just simply because I want to grow relationally and I want to, you know, find out where these guys are at. But like, he loves this stuff, you know, and again, it's a blessing to be around guys that are truly passionate about this and they go about it with a sense of gratitude versus a sense of, oh, I got to wake up and do cardio and I got to starve today. And,
yeah,
you know, which I mean, it's sadly, it's very common in the industry, you know, yeah.
Negativity or entitlement, I think, are two real strong negative traits that come out. But yeah, man, with guys like that, it is a pleasure as a coach. You are very lucky.
Yeah. So, you know, and like I said, you guys, I can't wait to put the picture side by side. We've been putting them side by side there in the prep of just his, you know, say 4 weeks out of Indy and 4 weeks now. And, you know, like, I mean, it's absolutely crazy.
Wow.
Absolutely crazy. You know, and like I said, we've barely scratched the surface of what his potential is. I honestly believe that. So with him, the biggest thing is he can eat basically it's kind of both ends of the spectrum. Like he has to diet a little bit harder than Nathan on a daily basis, but he can actually refeed higher than what Nathan can without a negative return.
Hmm.
So, you know, just kind of as a comparison sake there. But I've been keeping with him. I've been keeping one structured refeed in a week, which is basically 5 to 6 really, really high carb meals. And then I'll do, either like a Chick-fil-A meal or a burger meal with him. So we've kept being able to keep that in the whole prep.
No kidding. Nice.
Cardio, he's doing an hour of cardio a day right now, or most days. I mean, that's basically it. But like I said, again, something that he would say too, is one of the biggest changes that we've made is to his training, you know, and how that's really paid off for him in terms of his look and his density and the fullness that he carries on a day-to-day basis. So, you know, he sends me pictures first thing in the morning, right out of bed, and he's full as a house.
Nice.
I mean, it's crazy, you know, like even in his arms, like he looks like he just went through a full arm workout when he sends me his updates in the morning.
That's incredible.
Yeah, it's awesome. It's exciting to get these guys pictures right now. And that's something too that like is a common denominator basically with every single one of them outside of Michaela a little bit. But one thing I'm really proud of is that they all won their shows outright. Nobody's going in off of points.
Hmm.
And they basically all won late spring shows / summer shows. So the environment for all these athletes has been the same. Like my focal point has not had to be on fat loss. And yes, obviously fat loss needs to occur, but it's been on progress.
Yeah.
You know, so I've been prepping these guys for the Olympia, trying to get them better to the Olympia in terms of shape, in terms of size, in terms of scale weight, you know, and then the secondary component of that is making sure their conditioning is where it needs to be. Because that's not been the sole priority, you know, versus if you take somebody from dead off season, their priority is to get in shape, while getting in shape to maintain as much tissue as possible versus with these guys, it's like, hey, let's see what we can do here. Let's see how much better we can get from the qualifier to the Olympia, you know, but make sure that we maintain the same conditioning that you had at your qualifier.
Yeah. Yeah, I love that, man. Everything, this is really exciting. That's basically what I have to say, man. It's exciting. This is an exciting year for you, and you've got a hell of a lineup. Man, I'm wishing the best of luck to everybody. We'll all be following along. So you are going to be heading out to the USA's, or I'm sorry, to North Americans. And then after that, a week or so later, you will be at the Olympia. I will be at both of those. So I'll look for you guys and I'll say hi at the same time, man. I want to stay out of your way because you've got a lot going on in your hands right now.
No, please come up and say hey.
Absolutely. Well, thanks a lot. Would you like to give any shout outs or mentions to sponsors? Also, I want to know all about your website and your social media and how people can follow along with you.
Sure. My website is camp-jansen.com. And basically I'm doing a prep series with all the athletes that we just discussed, where I'm laying out their diets as I make diet changes. I'm laying out the reasonings why I made the diet changes, or why we're doing high days, or, you know, whatever it might be. With Nathan specifically, the last 5 weeks, we're documenting the training fully. We're doing videos of training. So it's just really cool. You know, that was an idea that Dallas had with me. As he's like, man, I want people to know what you're about and, you know, and how you conduct yourself as a coach. And, you know, so the website actually started, you know, it's a crazy story, but I was down filming with Dallas this week last year to launch the website, which unfortunately he then passed away the day after I left. But, you know, I still wanted to carry that out and that vision that we had for him, you know, and in honor of him. So that's what the website's about. From a sponsor standpoint, I want to do two things. I want to thank the coaches that have helped me get to where I'm at. Jason Theobald has played a big role. Neil Hill has played a tremendous role in my development as a coach, from an industry perspective, from a coaching perspective. I spent some time with Chad Nichols. Alberto Nunez also played a very developmental role in my coaching, in terms of philosophy, in terms of communicating with athletes. So I really appreciate those guys.
Man, I feel like we could do a whole show just talking about those guys and what you've learned from them. That would be a whole other episode. Yeah.
And then also, Joe Benley of Project AD, he's been a supporter of me for years.
Great,
you know, when many people weren't, and I'm very appreciative of him for that. We also have Nathan and I both are sponsored by a food prep company called Trifecta, which I literally, I could talk about them all day long. It's the best food. And we get it every week, and it's fresh and it's moist and, you know, it's delicious to eat, makes prepping easy. You know, you actually look forward to the meals versus most prep companies. You eat it because you're appreciative that you're getting the food, but it really doesn't taste that good.
Right.
So they have been a huge help to us. Do whatever we ask, do whatever we need. So thank you guys. Iron Rebel's been a huge supporter, both Nathan and I.
Nice.
And then also too, like, you know, I said, Arsenal Strength, you know, just for allowing us to have a place to train, just a place where, you know, we can build a championship environment. And I'm very, very appreciative of that. And then also Atomix, they sponsor both Nathan and I as well. And, you know, they supply us with all of our shoes and, you know, and anything else from a clothing perspective that they might carry, they send over to us. So thank you to those guys. If you guys want to reach out to me, my Instagram is MattJansen8. My email is coaching@camp-jansen.com. And I'll be happy to get back to you at both of those places. I do. I am an email guy. I prioritize email over messages on Instagram or social media. So definitely email me, and I'll be happy to get in touch.
Right on. And yeah, guys, if you're not following Matt Jansen, definitely go check out his Instagram, because all the people that we are talking about, he's posting pictures of these guys and gals up, and we're seeing some really incredible progression pictures. We're seeing some gym pictures, whole bunch of really cool stuff. So definitely check that out. And yeah, over the website looks great, man. I was just checking it out. You've even got t-shirts available if people want to get those.
Yeah.
Right on. Well, I'm looking forward to hopefully meeting you in person at one of these two events. I'm looking forward to sitting in the audience at the Olympia and hopefully seeing all these guys shine. This is going to be exciting.
Thank you, Scott. I really, really appreciate it.
All right, guys. For another episode of Advices Radio, I'm Scott McNally with bodybuilding coach Matt Jansen. We will see you soon. Thanks, Matt.